Shalom and welcome to Tehillim Yomi. Today we learn Mizmor Kuf Mem Vav 146. We arrive at the last five Psalms of the Psalter. We already learned Psalm 145, but I repeat some of the themes here because I believe they are all linked. Psalms 145 to 50 represent a unit of praising God with the last word of each Psalm, including the word Hallelujah, which is also the first word of the next Psalm. The rabbis, when arranging Psalms 145 to 150 in morning prayer, added a verse to the end of Psalm 145, to Ashrei, by saying, V'anachnu nevarech yemei atah v'olam hallelujah, in order to link 145 with the ensuing chapters to make one unit. What's the connection between Ashrei and the subsequent chapters? Let's take a moment to recount the major motifs we glean from learning Psalm 145. We note that the praise of the one and the praise of the many, confidence and humility in approaching God, trusting yourself, but also relying on history and tradition to support your praise. Different forms of praising God and different types of praise. Falling, faltering, but standing firm and persevering. Identifying the many levels of approaching God, recognizing that the struggle for godliness in the world must only conclude through an ultimate reckoning where God will smite the evildoers, ushering in the age of true, complete public praise. These and many other issues arise during analysis only create more questions surrounding the nature of praising God. What's the relationship between the individual who desires to praise God and the population as a whole? Do they confront the same issues? What is David teaching us about how to bring about a spiritual revolution? Additionally, should there be a distinction between different segments of the population in this regard? Is the child to be taught as the wise man, the simpleton with the minister? I believe that Psalms 146 to 50 are an expansion of the ideas raised in the original psalm, in the original message. Each psalm amplifies a point that Psalm 145 touched upon briefly. The subsequent psalms follow the same progression we find in Ashrei itself. The very essence of Ashrei, expressed in the beginning and the end of the psalm, is about the individual influencing the community. In this first half of Ashrei, the author is searching for his own voice and the courage to stand up and praise God. It's exactly what Psalms 146 and 147 are about. The midsection of Ashrei attempts to convince all God's creatures to become righteous believers who will pray in praise, express themselves, and extol their Creator. That's what Psalm 148 is about, as it provides some philosophical underpinnings to the notion that God desires the same awareness from all. We will show how the psalmist used this unique poetic tool, symmetry, in order to make his point. The first half of Psalm 145 portrays a God of mercy and compassion who acts alone. The psalmist, as an individual, praises God's objective traits, independent of his relationship with man, unconcerned with the plight of the day-to-day trials and tribulations. However, the second half, beginning with verse 14, the demeanor and focus of the psalmist changes. The average individual falls. The person struggles to get through the day, avoiding the obstacles which weigh down even the staunchest believers. The psalm becomes more subjective. The praises acknowledge God for how good he is to us. We also sense the presence of an enemy preventing the final stage. This is the message in greater detail in Psalm 149. It develops these thoughts. In an attempt to sing a new song, we express our concern about our enemies and then ask God to save us from them. This theme leads us to the final line of Ashrei, Avivarech kol basar shem kodesho olam ve'ed. The blueprint we can attain each step is following the psalmist's dream to be fulfilled, the universal awareness of God, a united blessing song of praise that brings God's presence closer and closer to our world. And that is found in the final Psalm in 150. With this introduction, we begin the last five psalms, Psalm 146. What happens when one person attempts to be a lone voice of praise in the world, but is confronted by an antagonist who seeks to malign those innocent sentiments? How does the single soul embark on a mission to seek out the divine? Confrontation between the innocent simpleton and the wicked prince, the sincere and the deceiver, arises in Psalm 146. Beginning with personal praise, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Nafshi Et Hashem, praise God, my soul should praise God. The psalm asks us to embrace the pure intention of a single soul confronted by the duplicitous statements of the elite who have the power to sway our beliefs away from God. The psalm turns to the masses of innocents who will either be lured away from God or be inspired by the believer to go closer to God and to seek shelter in his loving kindness. Hallelujah li nashiyat Adonai, ahala Adonai b'chayai, azamra l'elohai b'odi. Al tiftechu b'divim v'en adam shein lo tishua. Tetzeruchu Yashuv Lad Mato, Bayomahu, Adush Shinotav, Ashrei Shel Yaakov Ezro, Sivro, Aladonai Elohav. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to the God while I still have life. Do not put trust in the princes, the Son of Man, in whom there's no help. His breath goes forth, he returns to his earth, and that day his thoughts perish. But happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord, his God. Oseh shamayim va'aretz et hayam v'et kol asher ba'am ha'shomer emet l'olam. Oseh mishpat l'ashukim, noten lechem l'arevi'im, Adonai matir asirim, Adonai pokeh chibrim, Adonai zokef kufim, Adonai ov tzadikim, Adonai shomer et garim, yotom v'amana yodeh v'derech rishayim yaveit. Who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in it, who executes judgment for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry, frees the prisoners, opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord preserves the strangers, relies on the orphan and the widow. But the way of the wicked, he makes crooked. Yimloch Adonai l'olam, Elohayich Tzion l'dor v'dor, hallelujah. The Lord shall reign forever, O God, O Zion, to all generations, hallelujah. Psalm 146 can be divided into two sections. In the first section, verses 1 to 5, the psalmist enjoins his soul to rely on God, to praise him, and not to trust the princes who reject him. The second half, verses 5 to 10, consists of general praises to God. Starting in verse 5 with the key word Ashrei, the psalm embarks on a message to the innocent soul to stay away from the influences of the prince and to embrace God and his particular relationship with mankind. What's the connection between the two sections of the psalm? Verse 2 begins with a simple praise of God, but is interrupted by the prince in verses 3 to 4. Al tiftachu ben divim, b'ven adam she'en lo teshuvah. Don't rely on princes. Who is this prince who claims to save? Is he an enemy of the nation, or perhaps a leader of the people who has steered them away from God and tradition? Whoever he is, the prince is aware of God and his salvation, yet chooses not to acknowledge God. Whether it is his self-serving style that prevents him from accepting the truth or his belief that he might actually have the power to save man, the prince promises, lures, cajoles the simple man into a misplaced faith. His power attracts the masses, and the masses grant him power. Some believe in the God who created the heavens and earth, but not one who is involved in our lives daily. Psalm 141:46 addresses this philosophy and attempts to combat this negative and limiting depiction of God. While a searing rebuke of the evil prince would be appropriate, it does not happen here, as the psalmist is more concerned with the innocent one, trying to call out to God, not the prince. While praise of God as the creator of heaven and earth is included in Psalm, verses 7, 8, and 9 focus on God's loving kindness as he relates to man. The psalm then is denouncing the prince, while at the same time educating the innocents about God's special relationship with human beings. These two attitudes parallel two of the four sons we refer to at the Pesach Seder table, the wicked son and the simple son. The impression we receive is not that the wicked son does not believe in God or his miracles, but he asks, why bother? We take drastic measures in our response to him. The simple son, however, just wonders, what is this? And requires a gentle reply, a soft touch, and a tolerant temperament. We open him up to the wisdom of God and teach him the miracles and the salvation that only he can grant. Through these two opposing approaches and by relating in very different ways to very different personalities, the poet-teacher paves the way towards his goal of God's sovereignty over the entire world forever. The initial psalm of the Hallelujahs speaks to the individual and attempts to illuminate the wonders of God with a soft touch, conveying the kindness he bestows on humanity and the ever-present feeling that God alone reigns in the world. The psalm acknowledges the prince and his powerful influence on the innocent, and it attempts to direct him away from that seductive personality. For the simple person, the first mission must be to confront the Nadiv and to recognize his errant ways and his false salvation. The psalmist encourages the individual to rise above the schemes of the evil one who disappears, his thoughts perishing. Then the person can call out to God in peace, beginning the grand process of universal praise.